It's a bitter cold January day here in Washington, and the inaugural ceremony is coming to a close. The huge crowds begin to disperse. After thousands here, as well as millions of TV viewers, witnessed an historic event as John Fitzgerald Kennedy became the 35th President of the United States. A new era was in the making. The charm, intelligence, and vigor displayed by our new president captured the people's imagination. All America rejoiced, but Washington, D.C. was a particularly gay town as the new first family and thousands of well-wishers celebrated at inaugural balls and concerts. In the weeks and months to follow, the people of this nation would come to realize that on that inaugural day in 1961, this land was twice blessed. For Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy would not only preside as our country's first lady, but that this gracious person was destined to display a degree of dignity, cultural accomplishments, and valor, which was to win the esteem and affection of millions of people throughout the world. With her intense desire for cultivating our nation's cultural image, this lady of exquisite taste planned and conducted activities which brought to the White House world-famous talents in the fields of art, music, literature, and the theater. Much of that which was beautiful in America, as interpreted by men and women of great talent, found its way to the home of our president and our first lady. An aesthetic charm and appreciation for the arts was displayed, to the extent that all Americans of good taste were filled with pride. Jacqueline Kennedy's cultural leadership had not only transformed the White House from serving merely as the site for affairs of state and the residence for the nation's first family, but she brought to this splendid environment all the warmth, beauty, and cultural recognition which America may have neglected. It was as if Jacqueline Kennedy was helping to provide the answer to her husband's wish when he said, "I look forward to an America which will not be afraid of grace and beauty, which will steadily enlarge cultural opportunities for all of our citizens." In Asia, Latin America, and Europe, Jacqueline Kennedy won the hearts and cheers of people who were captivated by her warmth, intelligence, and language skills.
America Rani, Queen of America. It was with this greeting that huge throngs hailed Jacqueline Kennedy during her visit to India.
Jacqueline Kennedy is a model pattern. Oracle for the women's of the whole civilized world, including our ladies.
This was a newspaper comment in an Iron Curtain country. And when asked to describe our first lady, a White House staff member declared, "Jacqueline Kennedy is the woman who has everything, including the President of the United States." As a tireless political campaign worker, a White House hostess, an ambassadress of goodwill during her visits abroad, or when engaged in her dedicated efforts for providing great historical meaning to the White House, Jacqueline Kennedy not only had everything, but she gave everything of beauty and real meaning to the role of our nation's first lady. On Friday, November 22, 1963, at 12:25 p.m., Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy began an ordeal unparalleled in human history. Her ordeal was not to end publicly until 5 p.m. Monday, November 25th, when Mrs. Kennedy graciously bade farewell to the numerous foreign dignitaries who had gathered in Washington to attend the funeral services of her assassinated husband, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States. Death is no stranger to the human race, nor is the killing of good men by madmen unique. Four presidents of the United States have been assassinated, and four others have been fired upon by would-be assassins. But Jacqueline Kennedy's ordeal was unique in two respects. First, no human being has ever been subjected to such a relentless barrage of press, radio, and television coverage over so long a period of time. Over a period of 80 harrowing hours, almost every move, every word, even the supposed thoughts of Jacqueline Kennedy were printed, photographed, and narrated before the eager eyes and ears of the Earth's teeming, sorrowing millions. In the second place, never before has such a grueling ordeal been faced with such grace and poise as Jacqueline Kennedy displayed throughout the tragic circumstances so abruptly and atrociously thrust upon her. As the scriptures tell it, there is a time and a place for everything under the sun. Throughout the swift-moving, nerve-wracking hours, Jacqueline Kennedy proved for all the world to see that she realized clearly that this was not the time to weep nor waver, but rather was a time for reaffirming faith in the supremacy of understanding over bigotry, of courage over fear, of love over hate, of life over death. The following lines were written, and they are dramatically presented as a tribute to Jacqueline Kennedy's indomitable courage, as well as her unerring skill in doing and saying the proper thing at the proper time.
The brilliant sheen of the Texas sun warmed a charming, happy wife. The awful scream of the assassin's gun widowed her for life. Love and hate are a pair uncouth. They never go side by side. Her reeling mind denied the truth. Oh, no. Oh, no, she cried. First lady of the nation's choice, she did not scream in vain. The poignant pitch of her muted voice stirred a universal pain. She could not know it yet, but in her cry was a stark and dire warning for those who beget sorry litters of bigotry and ire. We who would spawn a better breed, humbly, imperfectly share her grief. Effrontery? Perhaps it is. We plead, her husband was our nation's chief. Forgive us this invasion of her sorrow. Ignorance is a hallmark of the human brain. Our pride hangs in black fringe shreds. Tomorrow we may earn freedom from this inhuman pain. Our pride is challenged, lowered, crushed. They stilled his warmth and vigor at his flood. They stunned a gallant woman. Our voice is hushed. They stained her pretty garments with his blood. They, the bigots of myriad persuasion, of every color, countless kinds, of every age, type of nation, they breed, they live in poisoned minds. His blood was not the first to spill in vain to the keening discord of a hymn of hate. Hers not the first immaculate garments to show stain of the blood of one destined for a martyr's fate. Somewhere we read, 'twas said before the deed, you can't say they don't like you in Dallas now. You certainly can't, he smilingly agreed. Then the smile was struck from that friendly brow. Someone did not like him there in Dallas. Someone with a hate coil for a mind, a Nero sort of 20th century palace, had meanly manifested the deadly venom of his kind. We saw her unforgettable image on the screens and pages. We saw her recoil and scream in numbing horror. Her terror will haunt good men across the ages. Her swift, strong recovery give hope to each tomorrow. She had a job to do. She did it well. How well, we cannot say. We need not try. But when the hurtling lead hissed out his knell, she gave us courage, knowing it was not the time to cry. She knew that courage honors courage best. He was unafraid in Dallas, as always in the past. She was by nature, nurture, marriage blessed. She sent the flag of courage back up the mast. She knelt not futilely weeping there while freedom faltered everywhere. No praying people, we go to prayer in praise for Jacqueline Bouvier, for showing us how to mourn our dead with courage, dignity, and grace, for showing us how to go ahead when life and death are face to face. Though grief was stark, few tears were seen by weeping millions in their homes. Her every move revealed a queen of spirit, not of thrones. By some magic still unseen in that stricken caravan, her every act firm and serene, she kept a loyal vigil with her man. He had fought the fires of hate, had kept freedom's flag unfurled. To be martyred was his fate. She keeps lonely, loyal vigil with his world.